Welcome to the Get Clients Now Facilitator Teleforum on coaching Get Clients Now in a group setting, tips and tricks. This is CJ Hayden speaking, and also facilitating today will be Frank Trinity, the Director of Training and Licensing for Get Clients Now. Say hi, Frank.
Hello, everyone.
So glad you could all be with us today. This line is open for your contributions and your questions. But please keep yourself muted unless you have something to say. You can use the mute button on your phone, or you can press *6 to mute yourself. We'll stop periodically and ask for questions and comments. And remember that you'll need to unmute yourself by pressing *6 again when you'd like to say something. If you are speaking and we don't acknowledge you, you're probably still muted. So we chose this topic today because we know that many of our facilitators have experience with one-on-one coaching and with teaching classes, but group coaching can be a different sort of challenge. When you coach a group, you have to hold multiple levels of attention at the same time. As the group leader, you've got an agenda. You've got to deliver a certain amount of teaching. You have to give time and space to each participant to check in during your group coaching sessions. They need the time to check in and report and share. You have to have the space to interact with participants and answer questions as needed, and to give them instructions or logistics for the current session or for future sessions. And with the Get Clients Now program, in the follow-up group coaching sessions, you have to accomplish all that in 30 to 45 minutes. So at the same time, you've got to be able to hold each individual participant's agenda, giving them what they want and they need to be successful with the program, and also hold the entire group's agenda, keeping them moving forward together as a cohesive and cooperative group. So all of this requires you to listen, to talk, to track, to respond, to plan at the same time. And it can take some effort to get used to working on all of those levels at once. For me, it's really helpful to raise my awareness about exactly what it is that I'm doing so that I can hang on to it all and remember to pay attention to all of the levels simultaneously. So here are some of the things that you're trying to accomplish when you're facilitating a group for a coaching session. Manage time so everything gets done within the time allotted for the session. Create a comfortable, collaborative, supportive space for participants to interact in. Direct your participants about what to say and what to do during the session. Teach elements of the Get Clients Now program that are necessary for that session's understanding. Collect a progress report from each one of your participants. Listen carefully to what each person says and also to what they don't say. Answer questions that are posed by your participants or throw them out to the group for answers. Coach participants past any stumbling blocks they're having or get the group to coach them. Acknowledge and champion participants for their efforts and for their successes. Encourage each person to contribute and participate and grant them equal time to the extent that's possible. Manage any problems that come up with how one person is participating or how the group is interacting together. And finally, balance each person's needs with what you need as the leader and the group as a whole needs in order for all of the elements to work together. So when I decided to list everything that I thought needed to be accomplished on a call, I came up with those 12 things. Manage time, create a supportive space, direct your participants, teach elements of the program, collect a progress report, listen to what's being said and not said, answer questions, coach people past stumbling blocks, acknowledge or champion, encourage participation, manage problems, and balance everybody's needs with your needs as a leader and the needs of the group as a whole. So those were my 12. Any other elements that you've noticed that are needed for successful group coaching, or comments on your experience with any of those 12 elements I listed?
Sheena, I was going to say perhaps sometimes checking in to make sure people have understood as well of what you said or what's been discussed, so that sort of checking that there has been understanding and that everybody's in the same place.
Excellent, Sheila. Yeah, that's a great suggestion, particularly when you're doing teaching segments to see, does everybody get it? Where are you all? Yep, good idea.
CJ, mm-hmm. This is Lorenda in Los Angeles. Given all the components, just the one comment I had is that what I do, and I really appreciate you delineating these things, thank you. What I do is I do structure the call. It's pretty structured because what I did, I've been doing this for a long time, and what I used to do is have it much more client participatory,
mm-hmm.
and I really lost the balance of what I need to make sure I get enough time to get through some of these critical points. So I just wanted to add that in. I have a timeline for myself.
That's great. And, you know, I think we all come up with, over time, our own strategies. In the beginning, for me, I was kind of the reverse. I needed to be very, very structured. And now it's a little bit more, I guess, intuitive, and I'm less structured than I used to be. But that's just me. And I think that you're right that for some people it might be exactly the opposite.
Thank you.
Yeah, other suggestions, ideas about elements that you've noticed or comments on your experience with any of those elements?
Sheila makes a great point, CJ. I kind of think of this experience, the group coaching experience, as a bit of a, now being a musician myself, I think of it being kind of playing in a jazz ensemble, where one, you have some structure around maybe some of the melody, but then there's also some points where you have to do some improvisation, and that comes in the space of listening for cues of things that or things you don't hear, being able to respond pretty quickly or almost sometimes on the fly, but you may also have some structure around how you would coach this particular situation. So I kind of, that's my analogy of this approach. And that may resonate with some of our folks here, but I know it resonates with me as I get into these experiences with group coaching.
That's a great metaphor, Frank. I think that the improvisational jazz metaphor could really work very well for group coaching. I know for me that sometimes it's a bit like cooking, where you've got all of these elements that need to come together, and it's happening sort of several things at once. Imagine that you're fixing a big, like a holiday meal, right, where you've got something in the oven and more stuff on the stove and everybody's around you making noise, and the next thing the cat's underfoot, and somehow you got to make it all come out at the same time and get it on the table.
This is Patty, and I don't know if anyone else does this, but I just started leading this in January, and I did two classes that started at the same time, and I could see in that 4 weeks, 2 weeks into it, people were saying, we need to do it again. So what I did is I invited people to be in a four-month program where we did three sets of 28 days, and what I found really useful in that program is I think you can do it with a longer program, is I really worked with them to consider that their individual success was going to be greater if each person was making sure everyone else in the group had success. And so it became this very powerful, it just ended today, but it became this very powerful group of people that were all pulling for each other, coaching each other here and there. I'd pair them up from time to time in between the classes. They would all make sure they got on the phone on time, that sort of thing.
That's terrific, Patty. It sounds like you did a great job of setting people up to be a supportive environment for each other, and did one of the things that sometimes facilitators do in addition to you leading the program, which is set people up outside the program to be buddies supporting each other, and that can work very well in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
So, Frank, let's talk about the next segment of this.
You bet. I am going to talk about a couple things here. First, when to coach one participant versus working with the whole group. You'll find that you'll have that opportunity at maybe several times throughout your groups. And then how to get participants coaching each other. So let's start with first the coaching one participant versus working with the whole group. And, you know, when you're group coaching with Get Clients Now program offers, you know, two distinct benefits. One, you get to work with a team of like-minded folks ready to make some changes and progress. And two, at the same time, you also get to coach one-on-one with professionals who get individual attention in that group setting. And I think one of the key areas to being successful in a group coaching is actually sensing and having some intuitiveness when it's time to step into a one-on-one coaching situation in your group setting. There will be times when it's appropriate and necessary to transition to working with one person for a short time that both elevates that individual and the entire group. I kind of have a rule of thumb for when I do my groups. And I think of it as when it's time to coach one participant, I ask myself, will coaching this person in a one-on-one environment, will the group setting benefit overall? Will the group see the benefits of this? And almost always the answer is yes, because if you're coaching a person in a one-on-one setting, there's a good chance, percentages are high, that the issue or the challenge or the good stuff that you're coaching this person around is happening to other people in the group. And the areas you'll coach one participant in can result in a positive learning experience for everyone in the group, motivation, eliminating fear, new ideas that come up. A validation of that they're doing the right things, or they're doing things. And then they feel comfortable expressing their issues when someone else does it first. And if you can get someone else, if there's someone else that kind of enters in that one-on-one coaching situation with you, do it first, you'll find that pretty much everybody else will follow suit. So you're going to find plenty of opportunity to do this, and here's some instances where it works well. Coaching a winner, give them space to bring out their best. Coach around that opportunity to say, what are they doing well? Kind of bring out some of those nuances, and then others can get motivated by their success story. Coaching to consistent trends. For example, you might find someone that's struggling with their daily actions on a weekly basis. That perhaps one of them is their daily actions is requiring to talking with someone live. They're doing all the great work behind the scenes, so they're doing their research, they're reading, they're following up online, but they're really having difficulty, let's say, networking or making calls, things along those lines. That may be an opportunity to kind of step into a one-on-one with them and ask, let's talk a little bit. I noticed that you're doing very well with your, I'd say, the daily actions that have you in the research area or doing things on the computer. But I also noticed that there are some areas that may need some further focus in actually reaching out and connecting with people. Can we talk a little bit about that? Or you might see that the mind-body numbers are consistently low and it's affecting their other numbers. Is there anything else going on here? Maybe a good place to play in the one-on-one coaching space. You may find that some participants have set unrealistic goals. You know, life got in the way. The day-to-day business issues took over. Here's an opportunity to help and coach them through lowering their sights. OK, okay, getting some and pointing out that there's some small wins that they get along the way. I like to, with groups in a one-on-one session, I like to role play. So, for instance, this is a good opportunity for coaching. Let's say a participant needs help with their 10-second intro or a 30-second commercial. I enjoy role-playing that out with an individual, and I play the part of being the prospect, and I'll offer coaching around the experience that I just went through and what I heard, and if there's some opportunity to get some to maybe change a few things about that or make it even better. And you know, that last line on the action plan called special permission, I have found this statement to be quite a powerful tool when working with participants struggling to make progress. I might coach to that. Let's come back to your special permission. Let's look it back to that. If it's the right one for them, it's usually the positive side of what they think will hold them back from success. So let's come back to that. Let's coach around that. Coach them to recommit. And maybe, just maybe, they might need to change it because it's not the right one. So there's some areas where I think is would be a good opportunity to coach one-on-one when in the group, and then you can see that it affects and has some positive effects on the others in the group. Let's talk a little bit here about coaching each other, how participants get to coach each other. I love this part, by the way. This is actually one of the most fun parts of group coaching. Now, you've been in the 4 year, you're in your 4 week program. Let's say after you've delivered kind of the basics of the program, and they kind of get comfortable with your style. Now, what you're doing here is you're opening up the door to allow them to help each other. Some groups will flow quite easily to this style of learning and this style of opportunity, while others might need some help. This level of coaching really builds support from more than just you. And, you know, we adults, we love to get support and encouragement from our peers. So you're going to exploit that. So when a participant shares experiences, challenges, fears, issues, anything that comes around, the obstacles or roadblocks, you might ask the group, let's say Steve in the group is expressing some of those issues. You might say to the group, what could I say to Steve right now? Or let's say Lisa is expressing some of those issues. What questions would help Lisa get through her challenge? After you've heard the question, ask the participant getting the help to engage. Then go deeper if you feel comfortable with that person suggesting the question. What would you ask next after hearing Steve's answer? So not just stopping at the first question to the group. And a lot of times in most GCN group settings, you're gonna inevitably get the how-to questions. And I find, and I'm guilty of this, I'm tempted just to answer the question because I know the answer. It's easy. It's right off the top, right at the tip of my tongue. And you might be tempted to facilitate the conversation and coach it yourself. But take a step back and realize this is really an opportunity to get the group to help answer the question. So instead, you might call on a participant, maybe who has expertise or experience in this area, or you can ask the group who has some ideas about this. If the answers need more clarification, go deeper with, tell us more about what you've suggested here. And then begin to play off of the answers and the exchange. And the best part about getting participants to coach each other is that you'll soon find that group coaching is not about you doing all the work and having all the answers. So I covered quite a bit of ground there. So let me kind of step back into the two areas I covered. First, I talk a little bit about coaching one participant versus working with the whole group. Have any of you experienced that out there, and what would you like to comment on it, and are there some other areas other than the ones that I suggested that you have found to be a good place to do one-on-one coaching? absolutely stunned the crowd, CJ.
Good work.
And I think we talked a little bit about this earlier, and some of the comments came up about having participants coach each other in the group. What have you experienced as a facilitator, and where have you seen this work, this kind of process work for you?
This is Todd from Connecticut.
Yeah, Todd.
And I'd like to combine both what CJ asked before and what you're talking about, Frank.
Sure.
In the work that I do career development and work performance coaching.
Right.
Get clients is a component of what I do. But more recently, to CJ's question about how, you know, what we experience in groups, more recently I've been using something called Makogo, which is a computer desktop sharing program. Many of you probably know about GoToMeeting. It's taken me a little while to get used to it, but it is really remarkable in holding a cohesive group together when I can visually see who the participant members are. People can chat and ask questions in the background. I can see who's paying attention and who's not, if you will, as well as being able to go onto other individuals' computers, with their permission, of course,
right,
where they get to be presenters and I get to do one-on-one coaching with them there. So within the context of, say, get clients now, and certainly within career management, research is a very important issue.
Right.
And I can bring people onto specific research sites often that we have in our own libraries here in Connecticut, and you do in your towns and states as well, to demonstrate visually as well as auditorially to the group how they might do the research for the career management or for getting clients now. So what I'm seeing is that, and it took me a little while to get over to it, but I can be a much better coach to groups using these programs. And I especially like Makogo, which recently had an upgrade. It's about $20 a month to use it. But a lot of my meetings are now done virtually.
Right.
And people join, just like we're joining you. They can join internationally. This is a program based in Germany. I think the most popular one is GoToMeeting. I think that is the
right,
preeminent program if someone were to go that way. But I find individual coaching to be much easier utilizing visual documents or materials in the work that I do with the clients that I'm working with in a group on the computers.
Todd, it sounds like you've done a nice job of incorporating the next level of kind of technology into your programs, and that's quite interesting. I like what I hear what you're saying here, and it's another level of engagement too. So, thanks.
Well, it's interesting, Frank. Just one point. I did have a client that it was amazing to me. It was about a year and a half ago, and they have well over 100,000 employees worldwide, but most of their work is done virtually. Many of their managers work out of their homes. They fly to business meetings, but again, much of their work is done on a GoToMeeting basis. So it was from that that I realized how powerful and important it can be, and really I was catching up with them rather than leading the way. So I just offer it to everyone here. It's available for all of us. My brother lives in Miramar, and I can work with him with these programs just as if he were two towns away. So it's very efficient, very useful in all the ways that we're addressing.
Thanks for sharing that, Todd. Appreciate it. CJ, I'm going to pass the torch over to you for your next section.
Great. So one of the tricky areas of group coaching, I think, is when you have a participant who's really struggling. How do you help that person without bogging down the entire group? So here's some things that you can try. The first suggestion that I would make is address it directly. Don't try to work around it and hope that it won't cause problems. If you're noticing it, everybody's noticing it. And just because other people aren't saying anything about it doesn't mean that they're not noticing. So if you feel as if somebody is taking too much time from the group for one individual's issues, or that there's something about their attitude or the way that they're sharing what's going on with them that seems to be creating some negativity, any kind of struggle that's going on with one person that's expressed in the group environment is going to start affecting everybody. So absolutely address it when you see it. If it happens once, okay, you'll probably think about it after the session's over and go, maybe I should have addressed that. If it shows up a second time, address it right then and there. Don't wait. The person who's having the struggle, they might not be aware that they are slowing the group down or that they're casting a pall on things. So give them the benefit of the doubt that they might not be aware of it and call it to their attention kindly that everybody in the group deserves equal time. So that's something that you can say directly right while the group is happening. John, I think it's time for us to move on to somebody else. Thank you, right? Or it's something that if it happens repeatedly, you might want to address with the person outside the session so that they don't feel put on the spot, but so that you know that they're aware of it and that they know that you're aware of it, so that everything's out in the open and there's nothing going on that that isn't being expressed by everybody who's concerned. Some of the things that you can do, you can ask other people in the group to coach that person or to offer them advice or to have offer them support so that it doesn't become a two-way dialogue between you and them that starts to exclude the rest of the group. You can also see if you could normalize their experience. Connect whatever's going on with them to the kind of difficulties that you see everybody experience at times so that then both they and the other group members will recognize that this person isn't so different. And the next suggestion is that it may be time to ask your struggling participant to scale back their program to a level that they might be able to manage better. Even when you tell people that it's okay to do that, sometimes they don't think it's okay. They think that what they really ought to do is continue to try to keep struggling, to stick with the program that they originally designed instead of scaling it back. So you may need to simply request of them, scale it back. That's what you need to do. It's what's going to help you succeed. If other things are getting in the way, if what's going on with your struggling participant is that they are continually being derailed by work priorities, by family priorities, by other demands on their time, challenge them to make the Get Clients Now program their priority. Almost anything can wait a couple of weeks to be dealt with. Challenge them to do that. Challenge them to put those other things on hold until the program's over so that they can really give it their full attention. Another thing you might do is you might ask the person in the group if there's any additional support they need that might help. It's really helpful to do that so that other participants can hear that you're there for them. You're offering them support. You want to help. And you might find that other participants might volunteer to give that person additional support as well. So right there in the group, ask them, is there anything else you need that might help you? What could assist you in getting out of this struggling place that you're in? You might contact them after the session is over and offer additional support by email. And another thing that you might do is you might offer them private sessions in addition to or even instead of the group sessions. Yes, it's more time for you to put in, but it can produce a better result, not just for that person, but for the whole group. And don't forget that you can also offer them additional paid coaching to help with whatever's going on with them. Absolutely okay to ask a participant who's struggling, you know, I think it would really benefit you to have an extra half hour or an hour with me, and I'd like to do that, and I'd need to charge you for it. This is my rate. Would that be okay with you? How would you like to do that? Absolutely okay. So other suggestions you might have about dealing with people who are struggling or experiences you might have had with that issue?
Hi, this is Matt from Chicago.
Yeah, Matt.
I just wanted to add that one of the things I've noticed in group coaching sessions is if you can, I know it's not always possible, but if you can, trying to pair up people that are on similar levels, similar experiences, because try as you might, at least in my experience, to really lead an effective group. If they're at different levels of experience, you know, success and fail cycles throughout their experience, they just speak different languages. So I've noticed, you know, pairing similar experiences seems to help a lot.
Great idea, Matt. Really good suggestion. Anybody else? Suggestions or experiences that you've had with the struggling participant issue? Frank, you want to talk to us about keeping your group on the right track?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talk a little bit here about some helpful ground rules for staying on track. Now, I'll start out by saying that there really aren't any hard and fast, you know, ground rules for group coaching. But maybe a better way to describe this are some guidelines to ensure that you've got a positive learning experience and it's in a motivating environment. So here are just a kind of a few to think about, and then be thinking about some on your own, and maybe you can share those after this. Keep your groups to a size you're comfortable with. So I believe that 4 to 8 people per coaching group is optimal. What that does is give you just enough time and whatever time you commit to for reporting. Both reporting and coaching. If it's necessary and your groups are larger, you know, you've just had a huge windfall of people come into your group, you may take them all on at once, but I really suggest that you break those groups up into smaller groups especially for the coaching group, the coaching sections of the program. Decide ahead of time whether you will include teaching and or consulting. And this really is a personal preference and based upon your experiences and perhaps how, you know, if you're an authority on this information. So, you know, how much should your coach or teach and consult? There really isn't a magic answer to that. But if you have background in marketing or sales, or you can draw from your own experiences doing your programs and running your business, you might find that this is an easy way to provide another level of support or education. If you feel you aren't an authority or have much experience to draw upon, then really a coaching approach will be much more successful. And in addition to that, coaching is also more useful for dealing with motivation, fear, procrastination, maybe the gremlin or the inner critic. So kind of get a sense of, is this what I'm, when I step into this Get Clients Now program, am I going to be doing, you most likely will be doing coaching, but am I also going to be including teaching and or consulting? Keep the reporting segment of your coaching calls concise. This is the point when each of your participants are going through their tracking sheets that they've done for the last week. Resist letting them tell the stories around the number. And yes, I know, the stories are really much more interesting than just reading off the numbers. But kind of just take a deep breath and say you're going to get your potentially get to those stories and listen and be able to coach around them. But when you kind of think about this portion of the call, it's really important to kind of get the reporting side of it. Everybody can get through it, and then you really get to the other meat of the of your coaching call. And coach those who want to hold the floor by describing every detail behind the numbers. They want to interject and say, you know, I appreciate you letting me know the detail. Why don't we move on to the next segment? Let's get everybody else in, and then we can come back to it. Look for and acknowledge wins of all sizes. And you know, it's easy, as CJ mentioned earlier, it's easy for participants to get bogged down with what's not working. There may be, you know, all kinds of issues going on, but there are small cues, and you'll hear them, and you'll train your ear to listen to them, to the things they're doing right, or just doing things that they haven't done before, just by the fact that they've made the effort to create their daily action, to build out all of their daily actions, is something they've never done before. That's a win. Making one phone call where they otherwise have not made phone calls before, that's a win. So you want to kind of, you want to coach to that. Listen for those opportunities where there's a win involved, and make sure you exploit that to them and bring that out in a good motivating place. Also encourage the consistent good behavior and coach them to continue it through to the next section, the next session of your coaching session. And they're going to be, you know, you're going to see and hear, you're going to hear all kinds of behaviors. And really this is somewhat of a behavioral change for some people in the Get Clients Now program. And you notice that, you see that they've changed, really make a point of pointing it out and coaching to it, and then encourage them to bring that through to the next time. Hold the group and individuals accountable. So this is both, remember, I mean, it's not just group coaching, but there's individuals that make up the group. So two things here. One, hold the group accountable to attending every session. And hold the group accountable for participation. You want to hear from everybody, and everybody has, hopefully, if applicable, has equal time to participate. And then hold the group accountable for support. Now hold the individuals accountable to their plans, the goals, special permissions, daily actions, things that they've made commitments to changing. Really, you know, the crux of Get Clients Now, as I'm sure many of you experienced, is that accountability. It's that coming back to it every day, or being engaged in it every day, every week, and then bringing that information and those results back to the team in your coaching groups. And then control the over participators. That's what I call them. Inevitably, you will coach groups where one or two participants will want to answer every question, tell long stories, control the conversations, and have answers for everything. Allow for some flexibility of these over participators. You don't just want to jump on them right away, because they may have some pretty good things to say and to offer the group. But keep a close watch on just how much. You might say something like, you know, I love your enthusiasm, Steve, and contribution about your experiences with the program. What I'd like to do is give others in the group the opportunity to weigh in or make their contributions, give them a chance to comment and share what they have so we can kind of tie it in with what you've said. So there's some kind of guidelines, or if you want to call them ground rules, to kind of think about. Are there any others that you've come up with that work for you to kind of keep the group on the right track?
Frank, there's one that I might suggest that might sound a little surprising, and it arose because of a situation that happened in one of my groups where one of the participants was not aware of the fact that we were actually going to do coaching And the first time that coaching happened, she was somewhat aghast that coaching was happening. It caused a bit of a disruption about it. So I think that it's helpful to make sure that everybody's really on the same page about what's going to be happening in the group. And it's not always sufficient to put things in writing. Some things actually need to be said right out verbally to the people who are in the group in the first session. And that's sometimes one of them when you don't really know whether people in your group have any experience with coaching or know anything about it or really have a clue what they're getting into, to tell them that this is not just a class where they're going to sit back and listen. This is a coaching group and that you're going to ask them questions and they're going to give answers and other people may have suggestions for them and that there will be interactions about these things. It will be two-way and that your hope is that people will learn and develop as a result of those interactions. But to really make sure that people get that what's going to happen is that there will be interacting and this is not a place where they just show up and they listen to your pearls of wisdom.
What a great example or a suggestion, making sure you level set the expectations of what's about to happen. Because it's easy, right, to assume that everybody knows this is a coaching experience. But in your case, what you just described is that it wasn't. And people may feel like they're imposed upon.
Mm-hmm.
If coaching takes place and they don't realize that it's going. Anybody else? Okay. CJ, you want to share some tips and tricks for us for group coaching?
Yeah, I said earlier that you need to include listening as one of the elements that you're holding while you coach your groups. But what are you really listening for as participants give their reports particularly? We've mentioned some of those areas. Here are some things to think about that you want to be listening for as people report in about their statistics and what's going on with them. Is somebody struggling? They're never meeting their targets. Or is perhaps their program too easy? Somebody's meeting every target without effort. If you hear somebody who's reporting in with tens every time, it may be an indication that that person has set up something that's sort of going through the motions for them and really isn't going to create a new level of results for them over what they've had before. Listen for somebody who has a program that's out of sync with their achievement of their client goal. So they're meeting their targets, they're moving forward on their success ingredients, they're getting nines and tens on their daily actions, but their goal isn't moving forward. They aren't actually getting any clients as a result. That's an indication that you're dealing with somebody who may have created a program that's not actually addressing the issues that they need to be addressing. Maybe they picked the wrong stage of the marketing cycle, for example. Listen for several people who are having the same type of problem. As Frank said, that can be a golden opportunity for coaching either one person while the others listen or having people coach each other. Frank also mentioned listening for the people that are succeeding so that you can celebrate the winners and let them inspire others. Also listen for somebody for whom things are working, but they're not having a good time. You know, they're doing the success ingredients, they're doing the daily actions, they're even getting clients, but they're not enjoying themselves. It all seems to be a plod or a trudge. That's a great opportunity for some coaching, potentially around special permission. So when you hear things like this, what can you do? You can offer extra support, either in the group, outside the group, or with additional tools or resources. You can suggest a book, an audio, a video, something that you did or learned that was helpful for you or that's been helpful for other clients. You can spend a few minutes teaching when you hear a common thing arising with multiple people. Like a reminder, You know, I hear a lot of effort going on around cold calling right now. Referral business is so much easier to get. What's going on there that people are choosing to make cold approaches instead of warm approaches? Can we talk about that? Point them to places in the Get Clients Now book that address issues that you hear. So when a particular issue comes up for somebody or when it comes up for several people, you should be familiar with the book. Go to the place in the book that addresses that. Call their attention to it and say, hey, everybody, I think you should all go to page 97. Read what it says there. Let's see if maybe that addresses some of the issues that you're having. You might suggest a new success ingredient or a new special permission that matches the kind of difficulties you hear coming up, or you might ask the group to suggest one. And you might actually have time set aside for celebrating wins and successes. Some facilitators like to do that as part of their standard format, you know, the last 2 minutes of every session. Okay, each person, give me a win. No more than 10 seconds. Go, right, so that you end the program on a high note. It is really easy to spend a lot of your time dealing with problems and issues, and it can be very, very beneficial to call some time out around celebration and reminding people that they are having successes even when some things aren't working really well. So anything that any of you have done with a group when you're listening suggests that it's time to introduce something new? Okay, I heard somebody take a breath but then not speak.
This is Lorinda in LA. I think it was me. I don't have something that answers that question, but I have something that struck me while you were speaking. So I don't
know what it is, Lorinda.
Okay, all right. Boy, and I never noticed this before. I'm embarrassed to say. I cannot tell you how many people I have put through this program. But anyway, let's go on. I have noticed that there's very low, most of my people that do my course are very low in their tracking. So they track, like if they get eights, they are in pretty good shape. So there's something I'm going to be working on. But the other thing that I now see is that I think in some ways, even the ones that are doing eights, but they're not getting their program goal. So I never even thought, oh, maybe it's not filling the pipeline. Maybe it's not following up. Maybe it's closing the deal that they are stuck in or need more work. But then that would show up like really redoing the program, I think. I just think that that's really valuable for me to see. Like they're doing activities, but it's not producing the kinds of results that they're saying they want to produce.
I think it is worth looking at, Lorinda. You know, I notice that sometimes with people who are, for example, doing a lot of social media activity and not seeing results from it.
Right.
That sometimes
Bingo.
You just need to call their attention to the fact, you know, okay, we did tell you that it's not about what you choose. It's about that you choose. However, you do need to choose to do effective things. And if what you're choosing is things that are at the bottom of the effectiveness scale instead of things that are at the top, it's not going to produce as good a result for you.
Right. Okay. That's a good point. Okay, it's so great. Thank you for that.
Good, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're just about at the top of the hour. Thank you, everybody, for your participation today. Mark your calendars for our next teleforum, which will be Tuesday, October 23rd at the same time. And next time around, we will have a marketing topic as opposed to the facilitation topic that we had today. So glad you could all be here, and thanks so much for all your great contributions.
Thank you, everyone.